Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the David Choi episode. I just reached out to David Choi on Instagram via direct messaging, and he responded back. I really, really enjoyed this interview. My favorite things that we talked about were his parents' music store, K-pop stars such as BTS, how he got his record contract, and songwriting. So many cool things we talked about, and I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy it too. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time, musician David Choi.
Thanks for having me. I was going to sing along, but it was so beautiful.
I didn't want to peer pressure you.
It was so beautiful.
Thank you.
I was just like, oh, this is nice.
I was looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. I gotta show love to the other Korean homies.
Of course.
That are doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Justin. You mentioned Justin.
Yep, Justin Chun.
Shout out to Justin Chun.
What's up, Justin? My neighbor.
He's your neighbor?
Kind of. Like, he lives like a couple miles away. So he's yeah.
Have you seen Gook?
He wrote a part of it at my house.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Amazing movie.
Yeah. It was awesome. I have a song in it too.
You do.
I do at the end. Yep. Yeah.
When she's dancing,
in
the fire, and mm-hmm. Oh yep. My god!
I think you just
almost gave me goosebumps. You
just gave away the.
It's okay. We can edit that out. But look, you did give me goosebumps.
Nice,
dude. That was a beautiful movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I. It was Justin.
How did y'all meet? And...
I think I met him through just social media. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. We actually talked about this the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember how we met, but it was probably through social media, just mutual friends. You know, entertainment's small here, like in LA.
As far as the
Asian community, I mean, I know almost all the Asian entertainers. And
you know who's killing it hard right now? A female.
Aquafina? Yeah,
I didn't even have to say it.
Of course.
Shout out to Aquafina. Mm-hmm. The whole Asian community's mm-hmm. proud.
Yes.
Killing it.
And there's a new guy,
movie.
Simu, who's going to be the first Marvel superhero.
Shout out. Can we give him a shout out?
I think we can. Simu. Sorry. Not Simu.
Shout out to Simu.
Simu.
What? He's going to be a superhero?
Yeah. He's going to be.
Is that historical? That's never happened, right?
Nope. Is Mulan?
Mulan kind of. Nah, that doesn't
count. Not really, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
There's
a guy who,
it, yeah.
The Bruce Lee, who played the dude that plays Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I thought they
imposed
him in the.
No, it's really an actor.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Craig, did he do a good job?
Yeah, he was great.
Dude, I'm telling you, he had the accent, like the way he talks and everything.
How does he talk?
I can't. I'm not an actor. I don't even
want to.
I don't want to attempt it. I don't want to try. Flow like water.
Not bad.
So I was gonna have you seen the show? It's all over the place.
The CBE? I've seen a few episodes.
We got so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You make beautiful music. I want to definitely showcase that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved? Where are you from, first of all?
I'm from Orange County. I was born in Anaheim.
Oh, that's
grew up
what's
in
up.
Garden Grove.
Oh, okay. Garden Grove represent.
Yeah, Garden Grove. West Garden Grove.
Did you go to University of Irvine?
I did not.
Okay.
I actually didn't go to university.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, that's cool. You didn't miss out on much.
Yeah. I don't.
It's a lot of
learn
debt.
From life.
Yeah. You know, student loans. We're still paying them off. How did you get into music?
My dad's side of the family is very musical. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a musical family. My mom's side's very artistic. I grew up in a my parents owned a music store in Garden Grove.
Can we
it's called Grace.
Can we do a commercial for it right now?
Yeah, go to Grace Music, no longer in Garden Grove, in Tustin.
Go to Grace Music in Tustin, California.
Yep.
Look it up on Google.
If you want to buy
go ahead, keep going.
Violins and cellos.
Violins.
Cellos.
Cellos. Keep going.
Auto harps.
Auto harps.
My dad is
he'll love this.
Is a Korean, like an old you know, Korean American immigrant. He's like 60 years old. Mm-hmm. He's actually the world champion auto harpist.
Who could say that?
And the auto harp is like a traditional folk
instrument
from the South.
What's his name?
His name's Ray Choi.
Shout out to my man Ray Choi. Hey, killing Dad. It.
Killing it in the auto harp.
In the auto harp world.
Yeah.
Can we plug the store, the shop again?
He does. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. So go to
YouTube. Type auto harp. I mean,
Ray Choi. Auto harp.
Yeah, you'll see it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then what about your mom?
My mom, she just helped run the business. She's kind of like the head of our household.
Making sure
that we don't. Live on the street.
I hear you. They're Korean American.
They are Korean. They were from Korea. They immigrated here. My mom went to high school.
At
not too far from here, LA High. Mm-hmm, it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're practically kin.
Yeah,
You're a Choi. My cousins are Choi's.
Okay,
I'm a Bach Park, but they changed it, you know. So I just learned this because I just went to visit my folks in Gilbert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're explaining Korean surnames, and Bach is really, they changed it to Park, then to Park.
Right.
So even Dumbfounded is a Bach. Yeah, like Bach Dynasty. Bach Dynasty. Same thing with Choi's. Mm-hmm. Kim is Gim.
Yeah.
Gim.
Choi is Che.
Che.
I don't know how you go from Che to Choi. I feel like Che's easier to say.
Yeah, Che's
right? Like
way.
Right, like S-C-H-E.
Yeah.
As opposed to Choi.
Yeah.
It's like,
Did they ever...
it's kind of weird.
Pick on you, call... Did they ever say, hey, Choi boy?
Yep.
Because my cousin Andy Choi and Paul Choi, shout out to them.
Yep.
They used to make fun of him in middle school and high school. Hey, Choi boy.
I actually liked it. I thought it was unique.
It is
until
unique.
I realized I wasn't the only Choi in the world. And I was like, every single Choi that I know was called Choi boy growing up.
Dude, Choi, that's something to be proud of. If you're a Choi, hold on, let's break it down. Kim,
Choi,
Kim,
Choi,
On,
Park,
Bach,
Lee. Lee is just Lee.
Lee.
Yeah.
But even that's E, or it's not Lee, right?
That's true, yeah.
It's something else.
It's so complicated. I don't even, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting, because I don't know much. Have you been to Korea, dude?
I have, yeah.
When's the last time you went?
I think I go about once a year for the past 10 years or so.
It's a trip, isn't it?
It's fun.
It's
interesting.
A trip,
yeah, it is. It's like a different world.
My mom is obsessed. There's a collective Korean... K-pop, like, dude, like, BTS.
BTS.
She will not stop talking about these people.
Really?
She has articles, and she's obsessed with them. She goes, you have to be more like them, and, like, because...
She wants you to be a K-pop star.
Well, she's obsessed with one, like, there's two that you could tell she has, like, crushes on these young boys.
Is she married?
No, my mom is old. Like, she's a how many? Yeah, grandma.
How old is she, if you don't mind me asking?
In her 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she loves the young K-pop boys.
I don't even know how. I lost track. You remember the Wonder Girls?
Yes.
Yeah. My brother, you know my brother.
I mean, I don't know them.
Yeah, but
like,
you know my brother. He's a comedian.
Mm-hmm, Bobby, yeah.
He did a music video for them, and he had an extra plane ticket. He goes, dude, you want to come to Korea with me, dude? And I go... Hell
of course, yeah.
First class. Have you heard of JYP?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to educate them. JYP is like the Puff Daddy of...
Yes, of Korea.
Korea. Mm-hmm. I ended up meeting that dude.
Was he nice?
He's pretty intense. A pretty intense guy.
Really? Wow. In like a good way or
just he's like Puff Daddy. He's just a hustler.
Oh, okay.
Entrepreneur,
type.
Yeah. Millionaire.
Wow.
For those people who don't know, a lot of these K-pop, they groom them from a very young age, mm-hmm. and a lot of them is like they just match kids up. And yeah. They live in dormitories.
Yep. It's true.
Do you know much about? I mean, I don't know much about it.
I mean, being in the music industry, I've heard a lot of those types of stories. I know some people who were kind of also groomed in that system.
Like, give me some examples.
But they left.
They left. Like, yeah. Like, what do you mean?
There's a girl. I mean, I don't want to say groomed because I don't really know to the extent, but like Megan Lee, who's Asian, like a Korean American singer out here. She's kind of, kind of was in that system for a little bit, but she got out, and I think in time.
So what do you mean? You're making it seem like Scientology or something.
No, but like...
I'm sorry. It just, it's like the polygamous group.
Maybe
like, they got out.
I mean, you know what? Yeah. We don't know. It could be. We never know.
I
mean,
I just know they're not keeping all their cash. They got to...
They're
chip,
not.
They got to chip yeah. off so-and-so, yep. JYP.
In America, your standard agent... manager gets what 10 to 15%, right? Maybe 20%.
Yeah.
In Korea, I heard it's normal to take 50%.
50%.
That's average, but they take that. What they do is they take that money and they reinvest it into that person,
Dude, you're spreading knowledge right now. I love it. I love what you're doing right now.
I'm making all this up. No,
no you're
kidding.
Not
no,
making it up.
No, it's true. Like they take the management companies take close to 50%.
Why? It's ridiculous.
I think it's because they have teams. In Korea, it's all about having a team.
Marketing.
Marketing, photographer, makeup.
Why do they all, the dudes, why do they always have like eyeliner? Like, why? I don't want to enter this.
Yeah.
But they kind of like demasculinity. Or
yeah, yeah.
They kind of demasculinitize.
I like that word.
Demasculinize.
That should be a word.
The male performer. Like, why do they have to
do
that? Why can't they just be themselves?
That's true. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
10? Now, a word from our sponsor.
My name is Lil Ray. I just teleported here from a purgatory planet with my robot named Beep. All right. You might be asking yourselves where the hell I sleep at night on that goddamn desolate planet. I'll tell you right now. I sleep on a comfortable purple mattress, all right? Purple mattress uses brand new materials that was developed by an actual goddamn rocket scientist, all right? Right now, you get a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, backed up by a 10-year warranty. Free shipping and returns. You're going to love Purple Mattress, folks. You get a free purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress today. I wish you could feel that. Feels like a bed of gummy bears. Woohoo! That's in addition to a free great gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text STEEBEE to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text Stevie, STEEBEE to 84888. Get your purple mattress today. And we're back. Okay.
We're back.
So, like, we're talking about demasculinitizing.
I don't want to, like, get too deep into the K-pop thing without...
Yeah.
Because the fans are really crazy.
Oh, they might. So,
I don't
think.
Do
you think one of their fans might stumble across the Stevie Weeby show?
Perhaps
at 13 minutes and 18 seconds and say, okay, well, you know what? They're fine the way they are.
I'm just not really
into
fine. Makeup and all that. So
I'm not either.
We grew up in America. We're not.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. No, but the thing is I'm fine with it,
yeah.
But I feel like a lot of them are just so like each group seems like the same kind of makeup. Like as far as there's going to be five girls or five guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to look perfect in their face.
Exactly the same.
Perfect nose, perfect chin, sankapu, the eye operation to make their eyes like perfect, like dolls.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, when I listen to your music, I'm not even looking at you. I'm actually, this is the thing. I listen with my ears. I don't listen with my eyes. And I think that the younger generation, they listen with their eyes.
I know exactly.
Instead of their ears. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, when I hear Dennison Kane, which is a Korean rapper from a group called Typical Cats, I'm not thinking, I'm not even looking at him. I didn't even know he was Korean.
Yeah, wow.
I thought there were three black dudes, but it was one of them. Quell's a white dude. Quasar's a black guy. And Dennison Kane's like us. He's a Korean dude. Mm-hmm. But when I listen to it, I'm like, you can't make it out. I'm listening. I'm actually listening and not judging it before I, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with that, it's like, it's mostly on the look. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, it's like the package that they're trying to sell.
Yeah. It's working though.
You know what? It totally works.
It works. I mean, 400 million views.
billion. Some of them have
400 billion.
Yeah. It's insane.
I mean,
you know what I'm waiting for is a K-pop group to come out with pot bellies and goatees.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
and they're
I
just
can't
drinking
wait.
Beers on like a fishing boat.
How amazing would that? I would listen to that.
And there, it's like folk
and it's
music.
Folk. Yeah,
I would love that.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that?
I don't know.
Maybe
because like younger girls don't like it.
Yeah, Korea's a weird, like you were there, you've been there more than I have. I was there like maybe 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
And even like the before that, I was a kid when I went there, so I was like very foggy.
Yeah.
But even when I went back there, I'm like, oh, this is way different. Like,
it changes every year I go.
Boom.
Yeah,
boom.
They're all about trends, fashion trends.
Yeah.
Like I've gone shopping there once and the first thing they say is like, hey, this would look good on you because this is what's in season right now.
Mm-hmm,
I was like,
mm-hmm.
What the hell? I've never heard of this. Like, I don't want to dress like what's in the season. I want to dress how I want. What's comfortable.
Like going, was it BT? What's it
BTS?
Yeah, okay, so going back to BTS, because my mom broke out. This is her grand finale. She's like Time Magazine cover of these guys.
Whoa. Well, you go buy, they were on Time Magazine?
Time Magazine. Front cover. She, in the kitchen, she goes, you go.
Wow.
And I go, okay. And I'm trying, I just started up website with, I have a couple t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was showing her some designs.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you have to be more like BTS, like flower. She wants more flowers on my shirts. And I'm like, all right, I'll look into it.
But you know what? She might be right.
Oh, I know.
She might be right. You never know.
So maybe like for the next t-shirt designs, incorporate more flower patterns,
or just put BTS on it,
dude. Can I do a bootleg?
And you could be the next, like the person next to them,
or I could Photoshop
your
myself
face
into it.
Yeah, or no, have BTS, but have them wearing shirts of your face.
Oh my god, that's straight. That's pretty great.
Is that
idea.
Is that copyright infringement?
Is that infringement?
It probably is, but like, what if you make their face a little different?
How about we do them, but we kind of fuzz out their faces.
Yeah.
Kind of blurred out.
Yeah.
Where people who know, but like if it were to go to court, they could never prove it.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's like so, Craig?
That's going to be funny if you just put like people like you and Bob and everybody else.
That'd be sick.
What if it's
on
you,
their shirts?
What if it's you, me, Dumbfounded, and Rex Dizzy?
I'm down. I could do that.
And then we'll just... Oh my God, they must be billionaires. Do you think they're probably living large, right?
They've made it.
Well, you're doing well too. Let's get back on you. All right. Let's forget all about right. them. You're here. I don't know those dudes. You're here in my room.
I like your room. It's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like
you know
what you've done to the
much.
Place. You know what? Most people
don't
need
much.
Most people don't need much, I feel.
I don't need much to survive.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
And when you do have it, what are you gonna do with all that?
I agree.
Let's go. Because you have, man, you're doing well yourself. Let's talk about you and your music. How did you start? When did you get your start? And how did you start making noise on like the internet?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Getting the, you know,
so,
these albums made and so on.
Yeah. So I grew up in the musical family and whatnot. My parents had a music store. So it was kind of, I was forced to play violin and piano, like any other Korean child.
Me too.
That ever yep. existed. Mm-hmm. And I, so fast forward, I was playing it. I hated both instruments tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I would get in trouble if I didn't practice mm-hmm. that whole thing. And then when I was 16, I saw this kid in history class, this guy named, I think his name was Pablo. He brought in a CD of some electronic music that he made, and he played it for the class. And he was telling the teacher, he's like, yeah, I made this. In my mind, I was like, whoa, you can make music?
Right.
Because in my mind, I was always doing it, but I didn't realize that that was songwriting or producing.
Oh, what did you think it was?
I don't know. I just never thought of it because I think because I grew up in it, it never clicked in my mind that I could do this.
Right.
So I went home that night and I took out a keyboard that I had and I just composed like this piano song, instrumental, and I even like notated it and everything.
Great.
From there, I got hooked. Continued to you know study music and writing and you know I entered a bunch of contests.
In high school?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
that's
great. I started with electronic music, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of stuff were you doing?
I was doing, like, breakbeats and techno, trance back then.
Yeah, I do kind of similar stuff to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have, like, a drum machine?
I have a drum machine, but then so I was doing that for a while. I entered a bunch of remix contests and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a senior in high school, I won. I entered, like, a David Bowie mashup contest.
That's sick.
And I won a car. I won an Audi TT in 2004. At the
you
time,
want an Audi?
Yeah, but I told them that I wanted the money, the
all
TT,
right. the Porsche looking one.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for adding that information.
Yeah,
Chris.
It was a small car,
but still, dude, that's a dope car.
So it's $30,000 value, and I told them I was like, actually, I already have a car, a Honda Civic. can I just get the cash instead? So they gave me $30,000, and I used that money to invest into my studio.
That's smart, dude. That's really smart.
Yeah. And then,
So you got, they agreed to do that?
Yeah.
They
gave
you $30,000.
They just wrote me a check for $30,000.
And so, okay, so you have this check for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to Sam Goody? I mean, did you go to Sam Ash? Not Sam Goody's.
Yeah.
Sam Ash or Guitar Center? Where'd you go? Fry's Electronics?
So I ordered some stuff from my parents, actually, because they had a music store.
There you go.
And they had access to, you know, distributors and things like
that.
Yeah. For certain things. And then for other things, I had a friend who worked at Guitar Center who kind of hooked me up with some stuff.
Dude.
Gave me a massive discount.
We got this mic stand there. See this mic stand?
Yeah.
GuitarCenter.com.
a lot of commercials.
Keep going. I love it.
Yeah. So I bought all that equipment. And then I just kind of kept working on it. I read some books saying that, you know, big producers and songwriters, how they got started was the internet recording studios.
Yeah.
So I was like,
oh,
if these guys did it, then why not do it myself? So I started applying to a bunch of internships. And then I got one in North Hollywood.
What, at a recording studio?
At a recording studio.
Oh, to learn how to engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you learned how to mix and master and do the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the first bits of gear you actually bought? Do you remember the gear that you first initially bought?
It was like this audio interface called the Edirol? I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
It's like a 2496 or something like that. Mm-hmm, they don't make them anymore, but and then I think I bought like a really expensive mic. It was like $4,000.
What kind was
it?
$149. Damn, you got that
from
at Guitar
Neumann,
Center?
Neumann M149. I got that at Guitar Center, yeah.
Oh, damn. What made that? Was it a condenser mic? Like condenser
it's a
mic?
Tube mic.
It's a tube mic.
Yeah, so it's like a big. It looks like that.
Oh my!
I still use it. It's still my.
I bet you the quality is amazing.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's great. And the reason why I got it was because the recording studio that I interned at, they used it.
Oh.
So I was familiar with it.
And you liked the quality of it?
Yeah, I thought it had a good,
kind
of like warm sound.
Warm sound.
So.
Now, as far as like other pieces of musical gear, do you remember, like, did you buy a keyboard or a guitar?
I already had a keyboard, and a MIDI keyboard. I did buy a I've bought a few guitars. Mm-hmm. I bought a converter, it's analog to digital converter.
Right,
and
right,
I,
right.
I think that's.
Sorry, that's
supposed to be on.
No, I made a mistake. Thank you, thank you, dude. There, you could just put that. I'll just put that. There you go.
This is cool. It's a little sticky thing.
Yeah, it's for a purple mattress. We'll talk about that
later.
Oh,
nice. Purple mattress. Yeah. Thank you, purple mattresses.
Make sure you go to purple.
Yep. Okay. use coupon code.
Yeah. Stevie, 84888.
There you go. Okay. What were we talking
about? were you talking about your gear from Guitar Center?
Oh, gear, yeah. And
you
bought
a converter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bought this vintage guitar, 1978 Les Paul.
That's what's up.
A Sunburst Les Paul.
Yeah. How much was that?
I think I bought it for. It wasn't too bad, actually. I think it was $2,000.
Oh, that's cool.
Maybe $2,500.
Yeah,
$2,500.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's worth a lot now.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still have it?
I still have it.
Yeah, don't get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that forever.
That's sentimental.
Until I, lose everything, and then I'll
sell
this.
No, you're not
going to
lose everything. Yeah. So you never went through the process of recording on an 8-track recorder or something. You just kind of
no,
because that's more analog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I just went above that. Yeah.
At the recording studio,
mm-hmm.
we did record on tape at certain points.
I like the sound of it.
Oh, it's
I like that.
You can't beat that.
It's
the best.
Group, Guided by Voices.
I don't know.
They're from the Midwest somewhere.
Okay.
And that's most of their albums are in their basement in their house
mm-hmm.
with the 4-track, and they just mic things up and that's it.
Yeah, that's how music should be made.
Yeah, Daniel Johnston recorded that way as well, with just a tape a regular tape deck,
mm-hmm.
like a double dual tape deck, and with his organ,
right?
And that's it.
Yeah.
So it goes to show it
stereo.
Doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't really matter. What you use, if it's good, it's gonna.
It doesn't
be good.
Matter.
Yeah,
it definitely doesn't matter. I will say though, since you're bringing up mm-hmm. tape and all that, I think tape for me, you can't beat that warm sound.
Yeah,
digital doesn't really. If you A/B it,
yeah.
If you were to strum a guitar, record it on tape, and then record it into Pro Tools, using best really good converters, versus using maybe even what else could you use? I mean, that's about it. It's either digital or it's tape.
Yeah.
Or analog. So if you were to compare the two and you just played it, it makes a huge difference
It's kind of a good comparison is like playing a record versus an MP3 or something
Yeah.
There's a certain distinct
warmth,
right?
Yeah.
Is there a balance? Can you find a balance somewhere in there
I think technology tries to get closer to that.
Closer, because there's effects
more.
And
there are
put on it.
Mm-hmm. And it does, it does sound good.
Yeah.
But when you compare it, A/B it, test it, there's a world of a difference. That's something that I've noticed, because we used to A/B test a ton at the studio that I interned at. Yeah, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty
way different.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah. So do you prefer, do you like digital then now? Do you prefer digital now?
I do. I mean, yeah, because it's easier and it's cheaper. Otherwise, I'd have to hire. With tape, you screw up. You have to, cut it.
Yeah, reel to reel.
It's just,
that's kind of. Unless you have a budget. The budget for that.
Unless you have a huge budget, yeah.
Okay, let's keep going on the recording. I'm interested in it. Because this right here, this is I record just, I do a puppet show.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my Little Ray songs just on this.
I like it. Yeah.
It's a 8-track, but then it's a digital 8-track where. Mm-hmm. But then there's a mic. You don't even need a mic.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's I don't know. I like it. Just
whatever gets the job done.
Exactly.
You know?
These days,
it all gets the job done, and it. You know, not everyone can afford to use a tape machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So where did the trajectory happen from you recording and interning at that record studio to actually becoming the artist that you've become and getting a manager and touring mm-hmm. and doing shows and all that stuff?
Yeah, so
records?
Yeah, so I interned at the recording studio. I absolutely hated it. I was mm-hmm. there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would clean the floors and toilets and went to pick up their kids.
Yeah.
Made wallpaper, a bunch of, intern stuff.
Yeah.
And And I got sick of it. And one day I was just applying for this workshop by ASCAP. ASCAP's like a performance rights society that actually pays. They pay all the songwriters and publishers for, you know, the royalties you generate through airplay on TV and radio.
And movies as well.
And movies, yeah. So ASCAP was doing this workshop. I applied. It's called the Lester Sill Workshop. They selected 15 people. I was one of them, luckily. And it was like a series of courses, like classes. I think we met once or twice a week for like 4 months or five months. And they had different guests come in and speak who are professionals in the industry, like
amazing
mixers and producers and people like that.
Yeah.
And from there, one of the people running it was a woman named Judy Stakey, who was the VP of Warner Chappell Music back then.
Oh, that's awesome.
And at the end of the workshop, she's like, "Hey, David, why don't you come in and play me some stuff that you've been working on?" And I was like, amazing, right? So I went in, played her some songs, and she was like, "David, I want to sign you." And I was like, whoa. It was like everything that I've been working hard for, she, you know, gave me that opportunity.
Just you weren't expecting that.
Well,
when you woke up that
I was morning. Expecting it in terms of like, I'm going to get this. This is going to happen someday. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm working so hard. You know, I'm
just writing song after song.
I don't know. I'm the type of person that believes, like, if I like to visualize things and work towards those goals.
I love that.
So that's kind of what I did when I was young. And
so,
and it helped a lot, I think.
That's amazing. Yeah. So when this happened, like, how did your life change? Like, did you have, like, obviously more responsibilities?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had,
it wasn't anything different than what I was already doing.
Yeah,
just writing songs all the time.
Yeah.
My contract actually. So she gave me.
Are you allowed to discuss that? Right.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
She gave me $30,000.
Well, the same amount.
The same amount. It's a David Bowie thing. Yeah. So she's like, "Hey, here's if I give you money, what are you gonna do with this money?" And I was like, "I'm probably gonna. I live with my parents, so I'm just gonna reinvest it in more equipment." So that's what I did.
I know what's going to happen next for you. You're going to be offered in a few months another $30,000. Because it happens in threes. Three. And then so you just got your middle one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a while ago.
It doesn't matter, dude. Just stick with me. Stay with me. I'm saying in 6 months from now, you're going to make another $30,000. For something, it's going to be a world tour or something's going to happen. I'm telling you. I'm putting it out there on the Stevie Weeby Show. Yeah, $30,000.
That did not happen.
No, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen.
No, but I will tell you what what did happen.
Okay.
So my job was to just write songs. So I was a songwriter, producer. Right. I wasn't singing or like YouTube wasn't around at that time. Actually, it was around. It just started during that time. So I was writing songs. I wrote tons of songs. Wrote with a bunch of hit songwriters. It was really tough. I was 19 years old at the time.
You're 19?
I was super shy. Yeah, I was 19.
Wow.
Didn't know how to interact with people. Didn't really talk much, but, you know, I wrote songs. That's what I love to do. And then the second year passed. I got $30,000.
Another $30,000?
Another $30,000 for that.
Oh, for the initial 30.
For the second year.
For the second year.
Yeah.
So you got 30, 30. So you did 30, 30, 30.
Yeah.
Audi counts. The Audi.
The
counts.
Audi counts.
The
is
Audi counts.
It was
30, 30, 30.
Yeah.
All right. So let me I'm gonna re-predict. So you're due for another run of that. You're gonna get another 30, 30, 30, just like Vegas. This boom, boom.
Sorry,
boom.
I just burped.
In threes. It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind. Okay. So I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
So that's $90,000 for you coming your way.
Yeah. Okay. And I was living at my parents' house, so it was like pretty, it wasn't too bad. Like,
so you didn't have, so you didn't have your own spot?
No, I didn't. I didn't move out of my parents' house until I was 25. Yeah.
We know someone else like that.
I saved it. But you know what I did? I went from living with my parents to buying a house.
So you went...
I didn't even have the dorm apartment experience.
So you went from living with your parents to like, I'm just going to buy a house.
Yeah. Well, wow. I mean, it was the advice of my mom. So not to live at home. I wanted to leave my house when I was 18. I wanted to.
Oh my God.
Because all my other friends did who went to college, but I, you know, I went to community college and I finished all my general education. I was going to transfer to USC actually.
But you never ended up going, did you?
I didn't go because I got signed. Yeah, I missed that part of the story, but
that goes to show, because a lot of this crap that Koreans feed their kids is,
yeah,
you have to go Hakyo, you have to do this, mm-hmm, Stanford, Harvard, USC,
yeah,
you know, Princeton, whatever. But like my brother went to junior college.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be doing fine.
Yeah,
you went to junior college, dude. You bought a house and you got a record. You're on a label. So like, what is that saying to these other Korean or Asian American students? Or
yeah,
it's like that's all kind of like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you say that's a lot of it's kind of like it doesn't. It might be relative to certain groups of people, but not, mm-hmm, doesn't pertain to every kid out there.
Yeah, I think, know, when it comes to entertainment, like you don't really need. I don't want to, you know, make it sound bad to all the kids who are going to college right now. But
no, I'm by any means, I'm not saying that.
Cause yeah, I know you're not. I spent
years at ASU.
Yeah,
I spent like.
That's a big party school.
I know. I lost half my mind. I got hooked on drugs there.
I played a show there once.
Great. Yeah.
It's fine.
It's all blur to me. It's all blur to me. Yeah. So I'm speaking from experience.
Right.
I actually went,
mm-hmm,
and I don't even know what I got.
Mm.
I just ended up going, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll go again and live in this dorm.
Yeah.
And yo, Hakyo ga? Yeah. Okay, I'll go. But it's like I was wasting not only my time, energy,
mm-hmm,
I had no purpose. I had, you know what I'm saying?
But it was an experience, a life experience, which you can't.
I met some good peoples. Mm. Yeah. And that's how I actually got into like underground rap, because I would like go to the local venues there in Tempe, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy I went, because it exposed me a lot to that kind of art form.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a lot of, I did waste a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's go back to your. I mean, you didn't go, and you're doing fine.
I'm doing.
That's my main point.
Yeah. I don't think college is for everyone. I never did well in school. I hated it so much.
I know.
I didn't even do well. I mean, I did okay. I had like a 3.1 GPA. I don't know if that's good.
0.45.
0.45? Can you?
Yeah, my first.
Wait, how do you graduate from that?
Can you graduate? I mean, that's a whole different, another podcast. Mm. That would take hours to explain.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't even know what degree I got.
Yeah.
Interdisciplinary. Don't laugh at me, man. Interdisciplinary studies.
That's great.
In communications.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because my podcast.
You're communicating.
Exactly. But,
and you're disciplined enough to come up with different new episodes.
It's basically to cut to the chase. It's basically something that they created for dumbasses like me who were in their system for like 7 years. They're like, okay, there's this kid. We got to figure out some kind of college or department and something to get them out of our system. Yeah.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, it was an experience.
It was a good experience. Yeah.
It was an experience.
It was an experience.
Yeah.
I don't know about good, but.
It wasn't good, no.
You know what? But if you didn't have that experience, we wouldn't be here right now talking about this.
You know what? You're right.
The butterfly effect.
You're right, because if that wouldn't have happened, then that wouldn't have led to the. Because what's the word? Chronological. I think that things are chronological.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has to happen in order for this to happen.
Yeah.
Then this dot will connect to this dot. You'll meet this person only if this happened, then that way you'll meet this person.
Yeah.
That person, because that's how I met Money Mark and David Cho. And mm-hmm. then we went on tour. And then, you know, I got into the band.
Yeah.
If I wasn't a fuck up in Arizona State, then mm-hmm. who knows?
You could have been a miserable doctor.
No, I could have been a wrestling coach at a I would have been a.
Were you in wrestling?
Yeah,
I was in wrestling too.
I would have been a wrestling coach, like an assistant wrestling coach at like a local high school.
You would? Yeah,
I think that would have been horrendous for me.
If you would have done well in Arizona State University, that could have happened. That could have been your fate.
No, let's go back in a time machine. If I would have placed in state. because I always choked at the state tournament.
Oh, okay.
Then I would have been like, oh, I want to wrestle in high school or college. And then that's when I would become a wrestling coach. Mm.
I miss wrestling, actually.
I did too. What weight did you wrestle?
I did 112, and then I went up to 119.
103.
Dang.
103. Wow. Yeah, 103 pounds, yeah. My brother wrestled. My brother was good, man.
Really?
My brother was, okay, he was the same weight as you. 112s.
I mean, we're both kind of same height, too.
I thought for some reason, looking at your pictures, I thought you were going to be like 6'3".
Everyone thinks I'm 6'3", but I'm actually
But when you got out of the cart, like when I saw you, I'm like, he's my size. Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody thinks. Yeah.
But my brother was, he went to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was getting sober.
Yeah.
Senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling coach said, you're going to, when you come back for your senior year, I want you to, my brother was probably like 132 pounds, but mm-hmm. my wrestling coach is like, you're going to wrestle at 112 pounds, varsity.
Wow.
I want to give you time to think about it, but we need you. And then my brother ended up saying, nope, I don't want to wrestle. And that's when I got freaked out because he actually stood up to my wrestling coach. I mean, my wrestling coach is a force to be reckoned with, man. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is, like, known nationally.
Mm-hmm.
He's known, like, he has a legacy at Poway High there, you know, in San Diego. And so when he did that, I saw several things happen. He, like, stood up to him, but then he was shunned from, like, once you don't wrestle and then, or, you know, word gets around and you're like dead to people. But then he ended up doing comedy.
Yeah.
He ended up going to La Jolla and then he worked at a record store, Disc Cafe, a local record store in La Jolla.
Yeah.
He had to get change for them on, you know, for their cash register. And the comedy store was like literally a block away.
Wow.
So he would go there just to get change for Disc Cafe, the record store he worked at. And then he would peek in there, look at it. He would see open mics and he'd be like, end up working the door there. And look.
Interesting, yeah.
And then now he ended up on TV and movie, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
killing
it.
So it's going back to what you're saying. It's, you say explain what the butterfly effect is? I'm not really.
Like,
I've heard of the term, but
like
I.
The what is it like with the dinosaurs? Like if the butterfly, if you were to.
If Japan, it might cause a tsunami in, like, Florida, America. It's like the idea that one small thing
Can affect
the fate of something else.
Of something else.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty deep, man.
Yeah. You never know, like, if your life, if you did well in school.
I did it. I never did.
No, but I'm saying in an alternate reality. I know it's going to sound dark, but you could have been hit by a car. Because you're going to midterms or something.
Like,
you never know.
Like, I need to make it to this
test. That stuff happens all the time.
It would never happen because I sleep too much.
You might have choked on your spit.
Sleeping.
Because you're so stressed from studying too much.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
So it's every day is a blessing that you're even here right now.
You're God dang right, my friend. Yeah. You're God dang right. But let's go back to you. I just love your trajectory. You have such an interesting story, man. Like, that's a lot of pressure to be, like, signed at such a young age. How did you mentally, emotionally, like, how did you adapt to these guidelines presented in front of you?
Well, I remember when I got signed as a writer-producer, I thought I made it. Little did I realize that I was actually at the bottom of the totem pole.
Oh, because
I was young and inexperienced.
There's a hierarchy there.
Yeah, and the other writers that I was writing with were so damn good, and I was like, damn, I suck.
Well, how did you, like, that's a good question. How did you even learn how to write songs?
Just kept practicing. I think that's
repetition.
What it comes down to, yeah. I think there's two ways of writing. There's, like, the craft, like, structure and things like that,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
kind of being more intentional about what you're doing with the music, and then there's also writing just from your emotion and what you feel in the moment and your experiences, and not caring about what the song looks or feels like. It's just real.
Yeah.
So I think you need a little bit of both.
Both.
Because if you just keep writing from, like, without feeling or without any structure, it's just gonna be it could be a 30-minute long song with no chorus.
So what would be your typical structure? Like, you're A Star Is Born, like that movie, like for my lady, for the way that Lady Gaga wrote her stuff. Is it like verse, verse, chorus, verse, verse, chorus, something like that?
I think generally the standard is verse, chorus,
verse, chorus,
verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Bridge, chorus. Different. What are the differences between a bridge and a chorus?
I think a bridge is, man, I don't know.
And just because I don't, I really don't know either. I think because it sounds the same to me. Like, even because I listen to all genres.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can't differentiate.
I think the main chorus is just something that is the sticky, the hooky part that people remember. That kind of represents the whole song. And then the bridge is like, if you wanted to do a second chorus, that's like your opportunity to do a second chorus.
Okay, Tom Petty's Free Fallin'.
Mm-hmm. Does that have a bridge?
Free Fallin'. That's the chorus.
Yeah.
What's the bridge to that? Oh, Free Fallin', I'm a free fallin'.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the... Yeah, yeah. That's like a... So sometimes a bridge could also be a break from the chorus, so that you can bring back the chorus again in a, either as a breakdown, which is slower, wow, or something more powerful at the end. And you leave people like, whoa, what was that song?
Yeah, yeah. Now, that formula, it's proven to work throughout history, right?
Absolutely.
Like, name me some examples that kind of stand out. Like, just I threw out Free Fallin' because that's the only... Because I was driving in Arizona in my mom's car and that song came on.
Actually, I can't... I don't know. I don't really think about songs and structure, but like, I'm sure even Journey has, you know, Don't Stop Believing is, I'm don't pretty sure, believe. Maybe, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think most songs, popular songs in general have that sort of format. Yeah.
Now, when a songwriter sits to write a great song, is it more important to come up with the chorus first or the verses? What's the most important? It's the hook or the chorus, right? Like in rap, it's the hook.
Honestly, there's no formula.
There's no formula.
There really is no formula. It's right. With writing, it's like, you know, the structure, and you know what's popular in terms of structure.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, some people say it's about knowing that, but then breaking the rules at the same time.
Right.
But I would say that structure generally works because it gives enough breaks in between, and for the chorus, like around the chorus. Yeah.
Is there examples of music where they break all the rules? They don't follow any of those rules.
John Cage.
Queen. Good example.
I mean, that doesn't... I mean, he doesn't have a chorus.
That Bohemian Rhapsody is kind of a great example.
It's like a musical that doesn't stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't repeat.
Yeah, it doesn't repeat. It just keeps building and building and building and building.
It builds and breaks down and builds and... Yeah.
Dude, what modern-day song is even close to Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, I've never heard one. I haven't heard of one in the past...
In the past...
10 years.
Couple, like, over a decade, 20 years, right?
30, I don't know. I think Queen's the only song that I personally know that does that sort of thing and can get away with it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not even, like, Michael Jackson did a song like that.
Yeah, Man in the Mirror is not that, is it?
No. Nothing.
Beat It?
Nope.
Billie Jean?
Yeah, they all got...
What about Prince?
Even Prince. I don't think he's
Purple
ever done
Rain
that.
Purple Rain was pretty standard. Oops. You know what? You're right. Who are some of your, like, who do you look like? What are some of your influences growing up? Like, what inspired you to write the songs the way you do?
I think when I was really young, I listened to a lot of pop music, and classical and jazz. That's what my parents listened to. And then when I was about 18, 19, 20, 21, I think that's when like the biggest musical influences kind of affected me. I listened to a lot of oldies.
Like what?
70s.
Like
70s.
Cholo oldies?
No, not cholo
oldies. Like cruising oldies? I like that.
No, I I had a bit of that growing up because I came up to LA often, and it was like, you know,
that's
I don't know
the good
like,
stuff.
Like yeah. K-Town during that time was like, it was a gang era with like, you know, Tupac and all that.
With Korean gangs.
Korean gangs.
Like the kimchi is. I don't want to because I mean Dumbfounded would know better than me or like. OG Chino. I don't want to. Yeah,
Chino
would
know.
OG Chino would know.
But there were a lot of, like, you know, shootings and stuff. And, yeah. like, that was the era of, you know, just hip hop that was influenced by that, you know, what was going on in that time period and that place. But despite that, I was also listening to a lot of oldies because I was influenced by the people at the studio that I was interning at.
Oh,
so they were listening Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's good stuff
on
though,
the side,
man.
Like also like it's like I was a huge fan of Tom Waits. I just loved all those people. Like I loved the Rat Pack. Frank Sinatra and all those types of people.
So you had like you like the older stuff.
I like the older stuff because back then, and I say this to people, is like the recordings, it was all done on tape, first off.
Yeah,
every musician that played any instrument during that time, and, you know, you can hear the strings and the horns, each individual player, they were masters of their instrument that they spent decades perfecting.
Learning.
So you can hear it. You can hear that. Like, it's different than now, I think. Like, you know, back then, you can't punch in and record
like Chuck Berry, like you can't
played it from the beginning to the end
like Chuck Berry, like
yeah
he's doing it the whole thing,
yeah, the whole thing from beginning to end,
yeah. Like huh,
yeah,
you can't.
And now you can be like, oh, I messed up on this part.
Yeah,
let me put that in. Oh wait, let me
program
just,
it in.
Yeah, program it and repeat it five times, loop it so that it sounds like I'm doing that because people can't tell. But back then, you couldn't do that, so they actually had to practice that shit and like.
Oh,
you have
like
to keep
and
going.
Then if they mess up, they have to start from the beginning.
They start from the beginning. The entire orchestra.
You're right.
The entire string section. Same with the singers. You know, now you can auto-tune everything.
I don't like that.
Everybody uses it. Even the best singers use it too.
I don't like that, man.
And music will never be as what it was before
you know,
auto-tune came around.
There's a few reasons why I don't like that because.
Yeah.
Humans were flawed.
Yeah.
That's basically like them doing that, doing the auto-tune, doing like all these programs. It's making us more like cyborg than human. That's like,
yeah,
we're imperfect beings. So I want to hear that imperfection in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the vulnerability or the cracking, just a little. I could hear that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they.
Me too. I think it's important.
All the rappers do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. I really can't.
No, even the best singers, on their records.
Ariana Grande?
She could sing. She's an amazing singer.
I know. I'm not trying.
But,
no, shout out to Ariana.
But
Ariana Grande.
But she probably auto-tunes everything. Because she wants to just. She doesn't want to spend all day in the studio.
Thank you. Next.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Next.
I'm so fucking. Thank you. Yeah. So that's auto-tuned?
Yes. It is.
Well, she's saying the same things, right? In the chorus.
Yeah, so you choose the best one and you put
and
that in every part.
I
don't know if she did that or not, but I would assume that they did because it just sounds too perfect. It's pop. Pop is perfect. It needs to be perfect, just like K-pop.
We're already getting down to the end. I feel like we're just getting started. Will you come back again?
Absolutely.
To be a guest? We need a part.
Yes.
Because with this, man, I'm so like, I really lost
I
track of time.
Sorry,
because,
we got like, we
you know,
went
we gotta
off.
We got to do part two and three. But
I'm
like,
down.
Just
I'm down.
Like you got to come back.
Yeah.
I feel like time just flew by with this one because I'm like, this is the stuff I'm really, really interested in because I'm still.
No,
I'm
and
not,
I and
yeah,
I've watched and followed you guys for a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love it. I think you guys are doing it the real and the right way.
Listen, yeah. I know they're not gonna play my song on K-Rock.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. I do music. It's therapy for me. Firstly, it's like, it's therapy. It's a way. It's meditational. It's a way for me to vent. It's a way for me to get an idea. It's no different than drawing or something or painting something. You know, it's like, okay, I have this idea. I'm just going to sit. The thing is, it's kind of like it's almost kind of like, God, it's like.
You got to do it.
Yeah, right? It's kind of like, I can't really explain it, but it's something, it's like, it like cures my OCD tendencies where it's like, okay, I wrote this, then I can do this. And then it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I just, when I complete something, I don't even like listening it too much. I do it obsessively once I complete it, but it's like, it's the same thing with these podcasts. Once I'm done, like, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, we got to get into that next time as far as, like, just, like, your albums. Because, dude, you have, like, don't you have a YouTube channel as well?
Yeah, and, I didn't talk about that at all.
At all. Like, you have, a big YouTube platform. And let's plug. I want to plug that.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not as active on it these days.
Okay.
But it's just David Choi Music on YouTube. I've been on YouTube since 2006. I was one of the, the first.
2006?
Yeah, I was one of the first musicians on the platform. I got lucky with the timing.
Dude, that's crazy. You know,
so.
And then the Instagram.
Yeah.
And then what about your Instagram?
Just David Choi Music on Instagram.
What about your website or future show dates?
So I'm actually taking a break from
shows?
Music right now.
Why?
I mean, I'm still doing music on the side for myself, but I'm actually working on a tech startup now.
Whoa.
It's different. I'm working on an app.
Okay, can we maybe, we could explore that in the future?
Absolutely,
here?
Yeah.
I would love to explore that as well.
Definitely.
Because that's a whole different.
It's whole different.
It's like you're going here to there.
Not quite.
No, is it?
It feels like, it seems like it, but it's actually not.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So. What is your website as well?
Just davidchoymusic.com.
DavidChoiMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, can we have at least 5 more minutes or no? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your most favorite albums that you recorded and in the past, and how can people actually download your albums?
So all my stuff's available on Spotify now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've released, I think, 5 albums and some singles and whatnot. people don't really release albums anymore, unfortunately.
That depresses me.
It makes me sad too.
It makes me so sad. It's a different age, man.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on about what you just said right now, which is kind of why I'm also trying to do some other things too.
Oh, because of the state of the music? Because
I just love music so much. It's
like going a different way.
Because it was my job for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to keep it kind of pure and, what it's supposed to be. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a different generation, man. It's a different time, man.
Absolutely.
These kids, they want the next.
Yep.
Next single. Next mixtape.
Yep. And that's why each single doesn't mean as much as
and not only that,
yeah.
It's in one ear, out the other.
Yep.
They're not gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They're like, okay, that was cool. All
yep.
right, what's the next album?
Yeah.
Where's the next song?
I remember buying albums as a kid and treasuring them and listening to them over and over again.
I used to smell them. Like,
I know what it smells. I know that smell.
And open
yeah.
it and I'd look at the insert and
mm-hmm.
read the whole, the
yep.
thank yous.
Yep, every single
word. Every word.
Yep.
And they're shouting out this group. I need to look them up
yep.
or, this rapper.
And then when you put
something.
It back into the sleeve, you're just kind of careful with it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you were, but I was.
Oh, I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meticulous.
Yeah.
And those days are done, man.
They're done. I don't think they'll ever come back, unfortunately. I hope they do. Maybe if all computers are destroyed, maybe we should.
So, the future, what the future is going to be? It's going to, because now it's like, they don't care about albums.
Yeah.
Now they're like singles, right?
Yeah.
Mixtape, singles. Then the next step, we want it just to hear 30 seconds of the song.
You know what? I honestly think that could happen.
It's going to be like, okay, got it.
You just want a verse and a chorus. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Verse, chorus, chorus.
So it's going to trickle down to 15 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Then it's just going to be a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I got the gist of the song.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
And that's just.
I think you're right. I think
oh my God.
Someone's going to take this recording.
And then
in the future, and then it'd be like, he just kind of, he told the future.
And then that way they could listen, they could download. And then not only that, it's just going to be like next, it's going to be programmed. Next song, next, and then we're done. Then we'll turn into cyborgs.
Yep.
Okay.
Man,
well, you got to come back here. Of course. You got to definitely, because
this was fun.
You got to come back.
I don't even know if we went through, like,
you know what? We barely even touched the surface, but the stuff that we did talk about.
Yeah.
I love talking about this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Me too. Because yeah,
just like you, I invested a lot of time and energy learning how to do this stuff writing and sitting hours and just sitting there listening and studying things. Yep. And now it's like, it's just different.
It's different.
I still like performing, and I'm sure you do too. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that's why, thank God that I decided to do this as well. It's just a different platform for me to at least put things out there.
Yep, absolutely.
Positive energies out in the world.
Yep.
Okay, so we covered everything, all your social media and everything.
Yep.
Can we shout out your parents' store again?
Yeah, it's Grace Music in Tustin.
Grace Music in Tustin, California. Check that out. Definitely buy stuff there. Okay, Grace Music in Tustin.
Yep.
Shout out again to Purple Mattress, right? Purple Mattress. Make sure you go, you text Stevie to 84888. Get that free purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. Okay. Shout out to the new patron this week. We have a Patreon attached to the show, patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. Shout out to Benny B again. It's the same Benny B, but I'm going to shout. I like Benny B. So I'm going to shout it out again. Shout out to Benny B. Shout out. I do have music on StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. Shout out to Sang Hong Joseph Ong, who bought all 13 of my albums on my Bandcamp. But you know, the ironic thing is he's done this several times.
He's awesome.
So he's rebought my albums.
It's because he's gifting them to other people.
That's amazing. So I got to say his name again. Sang Hong Joseph Ong. Sang Hong.
Sang Hong Joseph Ong. Ong.
My new
You're amazing.
I feel like he's Korean, dude. No?
It sounds Ong. Korean, but that sounds like
it could be Chinese.
It sounds
too.
Like four names in one.
What? Sang Hong Joseph Ong?
Yeah, right. Like
or that's
like,
not one name.
Sang Hong Joseph. Maybe those are two different people.
Is it? So if it is two different people, Sang Hong, I love you. Joseph Ong, I love you too.
They're getting extra shout outs today.
Sang Hong, Joseph Ong, if you're one entity, I love you. shout out to Jaime Soares for buying Collage of the Mirage. Thank you. So StevieWeebyBandcamp.com if you want to check out music. I have a website now and it's up and working, StevieWeebyShow.com, Instagram/QUANGOU. Make sure you check out my buddies. Podcast the Necro Electric podcast, as well as the homie Nathaniel's Losco Projects, right? Losco Projects, LOSKO Projects with a Z. Is there a Little Ray? There is no Little Ray. There's no Little Ray. Little Ray is off this week. He'll be back next week. Dude, it was a pleasure, my man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yo, P.O. Box, if you want to send stuff, we're going to have new contact, content. We have a new thing. We have new things we're working on, new content. But if you want to send packages, send them to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Merch is at StevieWeebyShow.com, okay? Go on there, buy a shirt. If you don't want to buy a shirt, don't buy a shirt, but buy a shirt. All right. Love you, man. Thank you.
Love you too.